This morning, our scripture reading comes from Mark 9. You'll remember last week that TJ preached on the issue of the blind man being able to see. Issue of faith was really the topic. And again, we're going to look at something very similar. It's going to be the topic of faith from Mark 9. But let me read now from God's word. When they, that's Jesus and his three closest disciples, when they came back to the disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and some scribes arguing with them. Immediately, when the entire crowd saw him, Jesus, they were amazed and began running up to greet him. And he asked them, "What are you discussing with them?" And one of the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought you my son, possessed with a spirit which makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it slams him to the ground and he foams at the mouth and he grinds his teeth and stiffens out. I told your disciples to cast it out and they could not do it." And he answered them and said, "Oh, unbelieving generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him to me." They brought the boy to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit threw him into a convulsion. And falling to the ground, he began rolling around and foaming at the mouth. And he asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he, the father, said, "From childhood. It has often thrown him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." Jesus said to him, "If you can, all things are possible to him who believes." And immediately the boy's father cried out, "I do believe. Help my unbelief." When Jesus saw that a crowd was rapidly gathering, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "You deaf and mute spirit, I command you, come out of him and do not enter him again." After crying out and throwing him into terrible convulsions, it came out. And the boy became so much like a corpse that most of them said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and raised him, and he got up. And when he came into the house, his disciples began questioning him privately, "Why could we not drive it out?" And Jesus said to them, "This kind cannot come out by anything but prayer." The word of the Lord. Let's pray again. Father God, we thank you for this story and your word. We pray that you would use it not to just inform us, but to transform us. That we might fall deeper in love with you, with Jesus, that we might long for the Holy Spirit to fill us in deeper ways and to live out your gospel as we seek your kingdom. Lord, forgive my sins, for they are many. Forgive our small faith. We pray that even now, you would take mercy on us and strengthen our faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, strangely, I feel 1 hour more tired today than I did yesterday. And as good of an argument as I can give for the validity of daylight savings time, it's amazing how a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old are not interested in that argument at all. So I don't know if you're like me, you're a little tired this morning. To wake up a little bit, I'm going to say God is good, and you say all the time. And then I'm going to say all the time, and you say God is good. So God is good, and all the time, amen. Amen. My name is John Holmes. I am your church planner. We, my wife and I, and my 2 daughters are planning a church in the East Hollywood and Hallandale area. And about a year ago was when we first met. I came and preached just close to about a year ago. And let me tell you, the past year has been full of joys and struggles. Joys and struggles. Some of the more recent joys for us have been that we had a Bible study in November and December in East Hollywood at Maggie Campo's house. And every week we had about 20 people come to that Bible study. That was really encouraging. People were engaged. They liked talking about the things that we talked about. They were asking questions about the vision for the church plant, and that was exciting. What's also been exciting and joyful for me is that part of my job and what I get to do is is just kind of float around and talk to people about Jesus. And I love that. I love that. Last week I got in several conversations. I felt like the Lord was sort of just directing my path to people and was able to just talk to them about spirituality or the gospel or some brokenness that they've experienced in their own life. And that is so exciting for me to do. That's why I'm planning a church, because I want to see new people come to faith in Jesus. And those things have brought me great joy, but it's also been a struggle. And it was a struggle in a way that we didn't really plan for. One of the hardest things for us is that we planned to move into the neighborhood that we were looking at by November. And here it is March, and we're still living up in Fort Lauderdale with my parents. We've made offers on houses, and they just didn't work out. You know how real estate is in South Florida. It's very cutthroat. And we were not expecting that. We were not ready for that. But praise God, we have an offer on a house that's been accepted. We're under contract. Inspections are this week, so hopefully things will move forward. But that won't be the last time we have to wrestle. That won't be the last time we have to struggle. That won't be the last time that our faith gets a little shaky. And I know you're in the same spot, and many times God is making himself known and his salvation known in this world through Jesus. And our call is to follow Jesus, to be agents of God's goodness and his mercy and righteousness and love as we follow after Jesus as broken people in this broken world. And really what's at the center of following Jesus is faith. I mean, we don't see Jesus, and yet we follow him, and it takes belief. It takes faith to read what he says in the Bible and then go and put it into practice. It takes faith to know how broken you are and believe what he says about forgiveness. It takes faith to follow after him. And that faith is a real battle. It's a real struggle. It is not easy. And faith doesn't necessarily get easier as you grow in Christ. Sometimes as you grow in Christ, faith gets more and more difficult. Because there's greater and greater challenges that are presented before you. Living as broken people in a broken world, faith is a wrestle. In the midst of fallen humanity, in the midst of the face of evil, in the midst of trials of life, faith is a wrestle. I was talking to a woman the other day, and she was saying that she had sensed the Lord was calling her into a new career. And she really wanted to be a Christian in this career. She wanted to serve God, but she also wanted to be a light for people in this new career path. And so she shut the doors to all other careers and stepped out, and the door for this new career did not open. And so she's left hanging out there going, I'm not sure I still believe. I'm struggling and I'm wrestling with faith. You can relate to her. Some of you are also parents, and you have these desires for your children to grow in Christ and to embrace the gospel and to mature and grow wise. And yet you watch them and they're sort of slowly veering off, or they're not grasping onto it with the passion that you wish they would. And your faith starts to get a little shaky. I think also about the Coptic Christians in North Africa that were beheaded a month ago. You can imagine what a struggle of faith the last 10 minutes of their life were. Maybe your struggles with faith are in intense situations. Maybe they're not. But I guarantee you are wrestling somewhere. You're wrestling with faith. You're wrestling with whether or not to believe. You're questioning whether you can really rest in Christ, whether you can really trust him. The circumstances seem so large. And you wonder, do I believe? Can I believe? Can I trust? We're continuing the sermon series, The Cast. People engaged in the story of Jesus Christ. And in this current episode, which comes right after what TJ preached on last week, TJ's sermon, then the transfiguration happens where some of the disciples see the glory of Jesus, but then they come down from the mountain and there is this mess. They walk right into this mess, an argument between the scribes and the rest of the disciples and the crowd. You see, there had been this boy that was under the oppression of dark spiritual powers. It said that a demon, a spiritually dark force, was occupying him. And it had caused him to be mute, it had caused him to be deaf, and it had caused him to have seizures. Now, we know some people with these disabilities, and that doesn't mean that they are demon-possessed. My own daughter had a time where she was having seizures, and we didn't call the exorcist. We just took her to the hospital. So all these issues are not necessarily spiritual issues as we would think about them, but they are in this particular story. And the reason we know why is because there was also this sense of self-destruction among this young man. God created us to be made and reflect His image, and the goal of Satan and his armies is to destroy the image of God in us. And this boy is throwing himself into the fire and throwing himself in the water, trying to destroy himself. And you can imagine the heartbreak of that parent. This is their only child. But yet the hope the parent brings the boy to the disciples, he's heard that Jesus has power. So he brings the boy to the disciples of Jesus. And can you heal him? Yes, we can. But nothing happens. He's left mute. He's left deaf. He's left having seizures and left in self-destruction. Now, it's odd because Jesus had actually given the disciples power to cast out demons. He had given them his authority and said, "You are my representatives. Go and come against these dark spiritual forces and cast them out in my name." But they hadn't been able to do it. And because of that, everyone there begins to struggle with that word, faith. Today, as we look at this story, we're going to see three things about faith. We're going to see the wrestle of faith, the necessity of faith, and the expression of faith. The wrestle of faith, the necessity of faith, and the expression of faith. First of all, the wrestle of faith. Something happened with the disciples. Something happened from the time where they had cast out the last demon and it had worked to this time where they tried to cast out a demon and it didn't work. And the best we can guess, according to this story, is that something happened in their own hearts and minds where they began to rely not on faith, but on self. Later, they'll ask Jesus, "Why could we not cast that demon out?" And the best we can tell is that they began to think this gift that Jesus had given them to cast out demons, they were able to use it without really relying on him. He had put this gift in their hands, and they began to think, "We can wield this sword as we will." I think there's a lesson there for us all as we think about our own giftings and our own talents that God has given us, and the temptation to think that we had something to do with it. And maybe even looking at our broader culture, and we think about how much self-reliance and independence is a value of our culture. Being able to pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. Now, the Bible doesn't condemn industriousness. It doesn't condemn hard work. But it does say that self-reliance is not faith. And when the disciples step into this situation, relying on self rather than relying on the power of Jesus in the present moment, they fail. They fail. And it's interesting that their failure in faith causes someone else to struggle with faith. The Father comes after the disciples' failure and he approaches Jesus. And he equalizes what the disciples have done with Jesus' power. In other words, if they can't do it, I don't think you can do it, because they're a representative of you. And he begins to define Jesus in his own mind by the failures of the disciples. He assumes that their mistake and failures represents the character of Jesus. I think there's a lesson in there for us as well. Maybe you're here today and you're not a Christian and you're wrestling with faith. What does it mean to believe in Jesus Christ? And you've been failed by followers of Jesus, or you've been failed by the church. That happens. We do fail, and we fail miserably at times. But don't let our failures keep you from seeing who Jesus really is. In those moments where we fall short, where we make mistakes, where our lack of faith causes you some sort of pain, look past us and look to the one who is giving us forgiveness. The same if you're a Christian. If you're a Christian, you will experience the failure of other followers. You will experience failures of Jesus' disciples. But don't let that define your view of Jesus. Look past the failures and the mistakes to the one who's perfect, to one who doesn't make mistakes. Because if you don't, you'll begin to define Jesus by the failures of others. And when we miss the character of Jesus, we struggle with faith. Oftentimes I find that people struggle in two areas. Either they say Jesus is compassionate but not powerful, or he's powerful but not compassionate. So if Jesus is powerful but not compassionate, you believe that he can fix the situation, that he can unleash his power in a situation. You just don't believe he cares. You think you have to do some sort of dance to get his attention. Jesus, I'm here. I know you can do something. Why aren't you helping me? Anybody ever feel that way? In this particular story, it's the opposite. The man sees the compassion of Jesus, but he struggles to believe in the power of Jesus. I think we can go there as well in many different ways. We can believe that Jesus is compassionate. He cares about me. But as TJ said last week, we can sort of form him into this cruise director that's all about me and my needs. And what Jesus wants to do is much bigger and much more powerful. He actually wants to step into the world and heal broken people and forgive sins. And he's not here just to make our lives comfortable and give us control. He's here to make all things new. And he has the power to do it. Whether it's self-reliance or defining Jesus by the failures of others or missing his compassion or power, faith is a wrestle. But let me encourage you, wrestle. Wrestle. Wrestle with what it means to believe. Wrestle with faith, because faith is necessary. Faith is necessary. Jesus sees the crowds and the disciples and the scribes arguing. He sees the fathers struggling with faith. He sees that the disciples have failed because of their faith. And his diagnosis is this whole thing that's going on, not faith. This is not faith. He says, "Oh, unbelieving generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you?" This is not faith. Mark, earlier in chapter 6, actually tells us that Jesus goes to his hometown and he finds that there's no faith there. And so he doesn't perform but a few miracles, because he's looking for people who believe him and trust him and have faith in him. He doesn't force himself into situations. And yet, even though this man who desperately wants his son to be healed, even though he struggles to believe that Jesus can do something, and his faith, if he has any, it's very weak, Jesus gives him a glimpse of something to believe in. Jesus gives him a glimpse of his power and compassion. Right after he diagnoses the situation and says, "This is not faith," he says, "Bring the boy to me." Now, why would Jesus say, "Bring the boy to me," unless he was going to do something? And then when the boy comes before him, the demonic presence in the boy starts to shake him and rattle him, as if the demonic presence in the boy knows something's wrong. There's someone more powerful than me here. The man gets a preview of Jesus' power. But not only that, he gets a preview of his compassion. Jesus doesn't just step in and fix everything. You almost picture him leaning in. How long has your son been like this? And in that question, we see the compassion of Jesus for this father. And the father says in verse 22, from childhood. It's been like this always. The demon has often thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. And in that sentence, in that answer to Jesus' question, we begin to see the world of this father. We begin to see that his only child could never be left alone for a minute. Because if he was, he might kill himself. And not only that, but the child could not communicate with his father, nor could be communicated with. If the child starts throwing himself in water, you can't say, stop, stop, because the child can't hear. And if the child hurts himself, he can't say, help, help, because he doesn't speak. And you begin to see the world that this father is in, and the struggle, and the wrestle. And there his son is right before him, shaking and rattling for the thousandth time. And he's probably exhausted. And he's probably beyond crisis mode. And in some ways, he's probably hopeless. And yet he musters up to Jesus. He says, but if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us, please. It's interesting. Jesus never gets offended when people ask him, will you? In Mark 1, there's a leper who comes to Jesus and says, will you heal me? And Jesus heals him. Because the man acknowledges that Jesus has power and compassion. He's appealing to those things and saying, will you heal me? It's interesting that this man says, can you? If you can do anything, please do it. Can you? And Jesus responds, if you can, if I can, all things are possible to the one who believes. And in that reply to the question, Jesus is giving a little nudge to the Father. He's nudging the Father towards faith, towards trust, towards resting in who he is. He's not saying, try harder. He's not saying, fake it until you make it. He's not saying, speak words into existence and you'll enter into a new reality. He's not even asking for blind faith. He's saying, can you see me? I know you can see your son, and I know what's happening right now, but can you see me? I'm right here. Rest in me. Believe in me. Trust in me. Am I able? That's not the question here. The question is never, am I able? The question is, will you trust me? Will you express faith in me? And immediately the man says, I believe, but help my unbelief. Faith is often expressed in honesty and in weakness. The man saying, look, it's not just my son who has the disability. I have a disability, and it's my faith. So I believe, but even my faith is disabled. He's repenting of his low-quality believing. I need your help, Jesus, with my son, but I need your help as well to believe. I believe, but help my unbelief. Very few relationships are ever started or established with something like that, with a statement like that. If I were to call you and your spouse up here for marriage renewal vows, and I were to look at your spouse and say, do you renew your marriage vows to this person? And they said, yes, I do. And then I would say, well, do you renew your marriage vows? And you were to say, yes, but I need some help. Ceremony over. And you'd be in trouble. What about if you went in for a job interview, and your future prospective boss says, we'd like to give you the job. Here's the contract. Do you want the job? I do, but not totally sure. What about if you were to go into battle with fellow soldiers? The soldiers looked at you and said, hey, you've got our back, right? Yes, I think. No relationship gets established by that level of commitment. But the point is this man is not mustering up some commitment to Jesus. His faith isn't expressed in him saying, I'm committed, I'm in all the way, but saying, help me. Help me. And in that statement, I believe, help my unbelief, thousands and thousands of Christians have found comfort and consolation over two millennia. Lord, I know you want my children to follow you, but they seem so far. I want to give up. I believe. Help my unbelief. Jesus, I want to forgive that person like you forgave me, but the emotions just keep coming up and the pain is there. I forgive. Help my unbelief. Father, I'm not sure there's hope for my marriage. I just want to throw in the towel. I believe. Help me to believe and pursue my spouse. Jesus, there's so much darkness around. I'm not sure how I'm going to serve you in this job or in this neighborhood. I'm not sure how I'm going to seek your kingdom. I just want to give up. But I believe. Help my unbelief. Jesus, I'm so stuck in my own sin. I don't even know what to do. Will you change me? I don't think you can. But I believe. Help my unbelief. Jesus hears this statement. For Jesus, it's not ultimately about the size or strength of the man's faith. And for you, the point is not the strength of your commitment when you come to Jesus. But the point is that you came to him. Let me say that again. The point is not the strength of your commitment when you come to Jesus, but the point is that you came to him, the one who's strong. Faith does not make us worthy to Jesus, but our faith brings us to the one who is worthy. And after the man says, I believe, help my unbelief, Jesus says, you deaf and mute spirit, I command you, come out of him and do not enter him again. For a moment, though, the situation appears worse. The boy goes limp and people think he's dead. And I'm so glad that part of the story is there, because after you and I express faith in Jesus, even though it's small and even though it's tiny and weak, things get worse sometimes. Like, Jesus, I just told you that I believe and I need you to help me believe, and things get worse. I think that's the reality of the wrestle with faith. But then Jesus reaches out, and we see clearly his power and his compassion. He reaches down and he takes the hand of the boy, and it says he raises him. And in that word raise, we're meant to think resurrection. Resurrection. And it's a reminder that this is so much bigger than the problems you and I have. This is so much bigger than this one story about a demon-possessed boy. What Jesus is really after, his power is so great and so grand that He is going to fix every piece of brokenness in this broken world. He is going to renew all things, and He will not quit until it is completed. That is how powerful He is. And you and I will come into that when we experience the resurrection. Power of Jesus. And yet He reaches down with His hand. Helps the boy up. Great power and great compassion. We're then whisked into another room where Jesus is alone with His disciples, and as so often they do, they ask Jesus a question privately. They say to Him, "Why could we not drive out that demon?" And Jesus replies to them, "This kind of demon cannot come out by anything but prayer." I'm amazed that as representatives of Jesus, Jesus still did not scold them or belittle them, but answered their question with compassion. You see, their own failure in faith was a gift. Their wrestle in faith was a gift. They were confronted with, what are we putting our faith in? And He points them back to prayer, or another way to say prayer is faith. But not just the concept of faith. He's not just saying, just believe, have positive vibes, think good things are going to happen. He points to Himself as the object of faith. See, Jesus here says this kind of demon can only come out through prayer. But TJ pointed out to me this week, Jesus doesn't take His own advice. Jesus says this kind of demon can only come out through prayer. But Jesus doesn't pray for the demon to be removed. Jesus is saying, look, it's not faith as a concept. It's not your ability to believe or your pious faith or trying very hard to believe. It's Me. See Me. See My power and My compassion. You will wrestle as broken people living in a broken world, but I am the one who has power to stop evil. I am the one who has compassion for the oppressed. I am the one who went to the cross for rebels and sinners. I am the one who took your punishment on Myself. I am the one who will sustain you and give you power in this dark and broken world. Look at Me. See Me. It's not about the strength of your faith. It's about My strength. Putting your faith in Me. Rest in Me. Trust in Me. Rely on Me. Have faith in Me. There is no one like Me. I will use you. I will carry you. But not because your faith is perfect, not even because your faith is strong, but because your weak faith is pointed at Me, the strong one, the powerful one, the mighty one, the compassionate one. I am Jesus. People of God, in your wrestles and struggles, will you look to the one who has the power to forgive sins, who has the power to raise the dead, who has the power in compassion to banish evil and heal sickness? Will you look to Him again this morning and say, I believe, help my unbelief. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we confess that we are broken people. We confess that we will walk right out of here and we'll struggle. And yet our confidence, our trust, and our hope is not in our ability. It's not in what we can muster up. It's in You. And so we pray this morning that You might truly strengthen us in the deepest parts of our heart, that You might work faith in us, that You might free us to be honest about where we're weak, where we struggle to trust, and the times that we have questions to ask You. Do this all for Your glory by the power of Your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.